And you're tuned in once again to the Jewish Activist Network. I'm Joe Orlow, your host, and we broadcast Wednesday nights from 12 midnight to 1 a.m.
Hello, and thank you once again for being with us on the Jewish Activist Network. As Joe mentioned, we are on from 12 to 1 every Wednesday night at midnight to 1 o'clock on 620 the AM dial. We are also streaming at www.talklinecommunications.com. We have with us a special guest today. His name is Ari Kagan. And let me just give you a little background before I introduce our guest. There's a Holocaust Memorial Park in Sheepshead Bay. This park has stones commemorating Holocaust victims, and there is a committee that takes care of the park, and they have taken very good care of the park for many, many years. Recently, actually this past Sunday, there was a gathering of over 40 Holocaust survivors, in addition to at least 40 others, with a number of prominent speakers. And they were there gathering in opposition to a plan that New York City has, and that New York City seems to be forcing down the throat of the Holocaust Park Committee that was granted the rights to be in charge of deciding what commemorations are in that park. And this, I guess we can call it a usurpation, and even a desecration, that is about to take place, spearheaded by activists and the gay and lesbian community. And Ari's going to explain to us exactly what's happening and the markers and stones that they would like to put in. And we will discuss why it really doesn't seem proper and why it's not the place for it to be. We will discuss what happened this past Sunday, who spoke, and what they said against this. In addition, this coming Sunday is the 25th anniversary of the park, and they are having something on the park grounds also. And let's get right to it, and let me introduce our guest, Ari Kagan. Ari Kagan is a resident of Brighton Beach. He's a journalist. He's a community activist and a grandson of Holocaust victims. Ari, welcome to the Jewish Activist Network, and thank you very much for being with us.
So, thank you very much for your invitation. It's an honor for me to be on your radio.
Now, so tell us, Ari, you were there last week, last Sunday, right?
Yes.
Give me just a few of the names of the people who spoke at last week's.
Definitely the most outspoken speaker was Assemblyman Duff Hikind, who represents Borough Park and Flatbush. Also, there was representative of Rabbinical Alliance, Rabbi Gershon Tenenbaum. And also, there were several speakers who are Holocaust survivors, like Michael Sirota, who is the vice president of New York Association of Holocaust Survivors. He's a survivor of the concentration camp in Pechora, Ukraine. Also, I recall Elazar Blostein, who is the chairman of the board of Holocaust Research Center, and Polina Mendelevich, whose family, many relatives were killed in Kamenets-Podolsk, Ukraine. I also was among the speakers. So there were about 90, maybe 100 people. And also I saw there Rabbi Yeshua Zelikovitz from Manhattan Beach Jewish Center and Irina Hlevner, who is assistant to Councilman Michael Nelson.
Right. Did you mention Eliezer Blostein?
I did mention Eliezer Blostein, who is the chairman of the board of Holocaust Research Center, yes.
Okay. Now, what was the main message that they were giving over? And what is the issue that...
Issues quite simple. First of all, I wanted to give you the name of the organization who is pushing this issue for the last 13 years. International Association of Gay and Lesbian Children of Holocaust Survivors. President of the organization is Rick Landman, and this is Manhattan-based organization, and they try to do the same thing for 13 years every year, and association was unsuccessful until this year. And that's why Dov Hakim said maybe it's because of election year, and everybody wants to attract votes and money from a very powerful lobby. And again, the only organization that is pushing it is the International Association of Gay and Lesbian Children of Holocaust Survivors. We're not talking about the Association of Holocaust Survivors. And I noticed that the event was having representatives of various Holocaust survivors groups, including, for example, mother of Dov Hakim, Frida, she survived Auschwitz. But people who are pushing it are not Holocaust survivors. They're gay and lesbian children of survivors. And once they tried to do another thing, they tried to test Holocaust Memorial Committee and transcribe names of their parents on stones in this Holocaust Memorial Park. And Holocaust Memorial Committee said yes to the names of specific Holocaust victims to be inscribed in the Holocaust Memorial Park, no problem whatsoever. But this is different. We're talking about five new markers, five at once, first time in the history of the park. And on each marker will be the name of the specific group. One group, gays and lesbians, another group, labeled, then Jehovah's Witnesses, then political prisoners and asocial elements. And as a grandson of Holocaust victims, my grandmother, with two small children, was killed in Minsk ghetto. I have a lot of objections. I'm angry and upset about what's going on. I cannot even imagine near the stone of Minsk ghetto in this park, I will see another stone, for example, of a social elements like prostitutes and homeless people who were killed by Nazis. I believe it's a little bit different, to say it lightly, you know, from like stone of Buchenwald or stone of the Dachau stone. Also, it's very important to mention that a lot of non-Jewish victims of Nazis are mentioned in many places in this park, including the main memorial in the middle of the park. I even made the pictures of these non-Jewish victims' names and categories that are mentioned on the memorial, like Jehovah's Witnesses, gypsies, homosexuals. All of them are mentioned in the memorial, and if some of them were killed in camp or other places, they're also mentioned. And we're talking about Jews who initiated this park. The creation of this park was initiated by Jewish groups. We're talking about Jewish groups who are holding memorials every year. We're talking about Jewish groups who spend time and efforts and money to make sure that at every camp stone dedicated to the memory of the camps, like the Dachau or Buchenwald or Jasenovic camp, that's a camp from Croatia, also other non-Jewish victims are mentioned, like, for example, Jasenovic camp stone mentioned Serbian priests. But imagine separate stone for Serbian priests, or imagine separate stone dedicated to Belarusian partisans, or like German communists, or like talking about gays and lesbians. I just read today the specific wording of the upcoming inscription.
Before we get to that, Ari, let me see if maybe you could help clarify for me. My understanding of the Holocaust is the concept of holo in the Holocaust was the complete, the word whole, that the attempt of the part of the Nazis, the Germans, those who supported them, was chas v'shalom to not just kill Jews, but to wipe out every single Jew on earth. Now, many people died during World War II. Tens of millions of people died, and specifically in concentration camps, there were people who died who were not Jews. So, is your objection to the concept here including these people, because although their memories, the people should be remembered for the atrocity that was done against them, by the Nazis, that it doesn't, it's not part of the Holocaust per se. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
I have many, many objections, mm-hmm. so many that we can spend more than 1 hour talking about it, but I will name a few. Number one objection, for example, if you say word Holocaust, what Holocaust was all about? About a social element, about disabled? Like when you mention word Holocaust all over the world, everywhere, even in Iran, you know, where you see Holocaust deniers,
mm-hmm.
Even the Iranian president knows what Holocaust means. He's denying the annihilation of 6 million Jews. So Mahmoud Ahmadinejad knows exactly what Holocaust was all about. But like Rick Landman from this International Association of Gay and Lesbian Children and like New York City Parks Department have objections. They believe that it's the same, like to put it the same categories and like to divide by the way, by different categories. I also have objections to start to divide victims of Holocaust. I am also have objections to put separate markers, you know, to not to memory of concentration camp victims, not to ghetto victims, but to start to classify and to find another victim of the war. That's why Dov Hakin said repeatedly, we're not against memory, like keeping the memory of Nazi victims. We are against like changing the nature of this Holocaust Memorial Park. He even said that let's open park for all of the stones in another place somewhere in Manhattan or another place, you know, to open the park for Nazi Victims Park or for like World War II Victims Park, but don't put these markers inside Holocaust Memorial Park. That's what he said. And some of the newspapers, by the way, and some websites definitely twisted his words. And now I see a lot of anti-Semitic comments on many internet sites and comments to newspapers saying that like we are pushing some kind of Jewish monopoly on sufferings and some other anti-Semitic remarks.
Now, let me mention that I did get in response to the show a few people asking some questions and making the comments that some of the comments that you just mentioned that some people were making as remarks to news clippings. And I was doing some research and I found the following, and let me just hear what you have to say about it. It claims, I'm just reading now a piece of what is going to go on one of these markers. So let me just quote over here. Around 50, it's saying, dedicated to the memory of a homosexual community. So I'll skip the first two paragraphs. The third one, around 50,000 men were convicted under paragraph 175 and sent to prisons. Prisons, penitentiaries, or sanitariums. Some were released only in order to be conscripted into the German army. Hundreds, possibly thousands, of male homosexuals died in concentration camps. Some were identified by pink triangles they were forced to wear. These deaths were the result of harsh conditions, hard labor, medical experimentation, beatings, and murders. After the war, while most of the inmates were liberated and some given restitution, homosexuals continued to be arrested and prosecuted under paragraph 175 until its repeal in 1969. So now, I'm just reading this, and there are a few things that immediately jump out at me. First of all, it starts out around 50,000 men. So it looks like it's men and not women. And then it says, it started out like that, some were released, in order to be conscripted into the German army. So it sounds like many of those were released, then they joined the German army. And then it says, then it dwindles down to hundreds, possibly thousands, died in concentration camps. It doesn't sound like any type of plot of extermination. Just this is straight from what's going to be put on the marker. It starts out with 50,000, and then many of them go... many of them get into the German army instead of being in the camp, And then it goes to hundreds, possibly thousands. They know that hundreds ended up dying. Is this and they're comparing this to what happened in the Holocaust? It doesn't even sound like there was any type of planned strategy of limiting homosexuals at all. What are they referring to?
Well, if I may
say a few words?
Go ahead.
Yeah, yes, so say a few words. Then Joe, afterwards, you mentioned
it. Yeah, like, first of all, I also object statements like, after the war, while most other inmates were liberated and some given restitution, first of all, this so-called most other inmates, we're talking about Jews, majority of people in these concentration camps were Jews, and some giving restitution. It sounds to me like complaints about restitution to Jewish Holocaust survivors.
Yeah,
also, talking about like these hundreds, okay, German army, which means they were like conscripted into Nazi army and started to serve Hitler, you know, and to kill Jews, you know, for example. Also, I can tell you, as a person who organized several Holocaust memorials in this park and who organized, like, who helped to open a stone dedicated to the memory of victims of more than 100,000 of Minsk ghetto victims, I can tell you that before we opened one stone there, we went through the lengthy process. We got approval, received approval from Holocaust Memorial Committee. Then we received approval from Advisory Holocaust Committee and from historians who said that we cannot put in memory of 150,000 Jews killed in Minsk ghetto because it could be 148,000 Jews who were killed. So by the end of the day, you can read more than 100, in memory of more than 100,000 Jews killed in Minsk ghetto. My point is, we went through a lengthy process, checked with historians, with several committees, Holocaust Memorial Committees, Advisory Committee, and now here we are, we're getting this inscription without any kind of historian, without anybody even looking at this nonsense, you know, and this will be like put inside Holocaust Memorial Park. I think it's outrage. That's one of the objections I have to the way how it was done, you know.
Let me give it our phone number, and we welcome your calls. 718-569-0921. That's 718-569-0921. Joe, did you have a comment to make on this?
Yeah, I'd like to suggest perhaps, without alleging anything in particular, that I'd like to suggest perhaps one of the reasons that they don't want to do, that the committees don't want to do a historical review is that they might come up with some startling evidence. There's a book on the which is available called The Pink Swastika. The title of the book is The Pink Swastika, and it's available completely on the internet. It's a lengthy book. It's well documented. And I'm just going to quote now from, I think it's page 190, 191 that I have on the screen in front of me. I'm going to paraphrase it. And it talks about this law, paragraph 175, which was later amended to 175A. And the thesis of the book is that the Nazi movement itself was a homosexual movement. It's a shocking kind of a statement, perhaps, for some to hear that. But that's what it alleges, and that the whole movement itself was steeped in this kind of homosexuality. And so yet we hear that there were homosexuals who were prosecuted and so on. So what it continues to say is that when the Nazis had an enemy, they would who happened to be involved in homosexual activity, so they would use this law, in other words, against their enemies. If it was a friend or so on, they didn't use this law. They would target their enemies. And the interesting thing is, we were just now discussing people who were alleged to be homosexuals who were put into the concentration camps. Apparently, a lot of people who were not homosexuals, who were heterosexuals, were targeted under this law and put in the camps. And supposedly, if they were enemies, we can assume that they were maybe attacked, killed, and so on. So if the historical review were done properly and correctly, what might come up is that the law was used just against enemies, that the Nazis used it as a tool to silence their enemies, to kill their enemies, and that many of the people who were targeted under this anti-homosexual law may not have been homosexual at all.
So That is an interesting book. I haven't read it, and Joe, I can't comment. I really can't comment on a particular.
I want also to add that homosexuals were persecuted also in Stalin's Soviet Union after the war, and also they are persecuted today in Iran, for example. Also, we have political prisoners today in Cuba, Venezuela, Russia, even in Belarus, and so on. So, but nobody is talking today that we have a Holocaust in Russia or Holocaust in Venezuela. And let's put another marker in this place dedicated to the memory of political prisoners or Holocaust victims in Russia. Because if you follow same logic, then you have to change the name of the park. That's the only way. You have to change the name of the park to put this marker. That's all.
Right. Now, the thing I was telling Joe before is, although I can't, I think it's an important book, and I think I'd like to read it. But we don't even have to come onto the book, because we have here just the words of the marker itself that's going to be put on. And I think just from the words of the marker, I don't see how anybody could even think to put such a marker up, when it's clear that out of 50,000, people were let go and let go into the Nazi army. It's hard for me to understand. Okay, I believe that we have a caller.
Okay.
Is that Rabbi Levin?
Welcome to the Jewish Activist Network, Rabbi Levin.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm driving and I'm listening to your very important program. I just want to tell your listeners, number one, I have a fascinating piece on my website dealing with this, ishyehudi.com. And basically, I indicate that on June the 5th, 1997, the Jewish Telegraphic Agency has a huge article about my attempted federal lawsuit against the Holocaust, the Battery Park Holocaust Museum, to try to stop them from opening because they were doing the same thing back then. Now, this has, in other words, you guys, I'm not saying this in a pejorative way, but people have woken up 15 years too late. For 15 years, in Holocaust museums and exhibits around the world, the homosexual militants have been trying to get credence to equate their particular lifestyle with the kedoshim of the Holocaust. Now, I have a practical suggestion to how this can be combated, because you can spend the rest of the program discussing all the minutia of analyzing the markers and this or that. Tachlis, Aleph, we have to understand that Mayor Bloomberg, the craven person who is supporting homosexual marriage right before he speaks to our good dinners 3 weeks ago, is also the one who is pushing this because he wants homosexual votes. So we all have to understand what kind of a maneuver the mayor is, despite the fact that he appeared on the same dais as the Gedolei Torah in Aguda and described how his mother would be so ecstatic. I wonder how his 100-year-old mother would feel that he's promoting homosexual marriage and the homosexualization of the Holocaust. What can we do about it very quickly? Mm-hmm. Eli Wiesel, in his book Night, Eli Wiesel, Mr. Shoah, who recently paraded with Obama at Buchenwald. He is the moral authority on the Holocaust, whether we appreciate it or don't. In his book, Night, he described how the homosexuals were a totally different category. They were treated much better than the Jews, and he goes into it. That was before he became politically correct. Eli Wiesel should be called upon by every Holocaust museum, organization, etc. He should be called to come down to Sheepshead Bay and issue a clear statement of moral outrage. He's worried about Darfur. That's great. He's worried about Rwanda. That's great. Let him worry about the legacy of this Holocaust and set the record straight. But I don't know if Elie Wiesel, who is around 80, has the guts to be politically incorrect and say this. The politicians...
Rabbi Levin, it's a good suggestion. Let's give it a chance. We will try to contact. We'll ask people if they want to get involved, and we can maybe write a letter and have signatures on it. You can sign, we can sign, and we can send them a letter. Let's give them a chance to respond to us.
I don't think we should do it. I think the Holocaust organizations have to do it.
All right. So that's okay. You've given us a very good direction. And that's, we call it the Jewish Activist Network, and we're looking for suggestions. That's perfect what you said. We'll make a note, and we're going to try to work on it and follow up on it.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, Rabbi Levin. We have with us Mark now. Mark, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi. Well, I was calling with one thing, but this last caller, I was really taken aback. I mean, he says he's a rabbi. You know, the Torah talks about gemilas chassadim and loving kindness.
All right, look,
and,
Mark, I appreciate the direction you're taking it, but tonight is not a discussion on the halacha the Torah law against homosexual acts. We're here speaking about the museum, so please address that point.
Okay, fine. So my point with that was, look, everybody knows that the vast majority of people killed in the Holocaust were Jews. There's no question about it. There's no doubt about it. So to me, I don't know, it's much ado about nothing. I mean, look, the fact of the matter is that thousands of gypsies were killed, that thousands of gay people were killed.
But would you acknowledge that Holocaust was a policy against Jews? That other people were killed in concentration camps, we're not denying. We're not saying...
Well, I actually would somewhat dispute that, because the Germans had a policy. They believed in eugenics. Hitler studied with
let me ask you a different question, Mark. Based on the pink swastika and other evidence, can you state that they had a policy besides a law, which they had? There were laws in the United States also against homosexuality, and their laws, however, you know, we can discuss about interpreting the halacha or how we approach the halacha. It's clear that the halacha, you know, it seems to me very clear what the halacha's position is, and there are many countries with laws. So what was it that happened during the Holocaust? You know, is there something that you can point to where the Nazis said, we're going to wipe out all homosexuals? You know, what was it that you can, you
okay,
know, what
good
evidence
question.
Do you have?
Good question. Okay, regarding gay people, I can't, but regarding the mentally retarded and the disabled, they did believe in this policy of eugenics.
Yeah.
And let me just finish. They killed hundreds of thousands of mentally retarded and mentally ill people because they said that they were not really worthy of life, and they were corrupting the gene pool, and they wanted to clean out the gene pool. So with regard to the mentally ill and disabled, I think there is evidence.
I'm not disagreeing. You might want to say that was the precursor of the Holocaust, if you will.
It started before the Holocaust, but I mean, certainly they expanded it and continued it.
I appreciate that, and so maybe we should suggest that. if anything, maybe we should suggest that they leave out the gay and lesbian. We could put a mark for disabled community. And the other ones.
Fine. Look, I just don't know why the last caller has so much hatred in his heart.
Wait a second. What's in a man's heart, we can discuss separately. That's for that man. He's not in front of us here. Let's wait. And you can certainly call. If you call me after the show, I can put you in touch with Rabbi Levin. And I'm sure
I'd love to speak to Rabbi Levin.
Fine. And I think he'd look forward to speaking with you. Thank you, Mark, for being with us.
Thank you.
We have one more caller here. Let's take another caller. When you hear the tone, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the Jewish Activist Network. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. My name is Nelly Braginski. I lost 7 people from my family during the Holocaust. It's my grandparents, uncle, aunt, and 2 kids. It was my age. It happens, just miracle, but I wasn't this time in a house. I was in another grandmother's home when they was arrested. And, you know, I heard what people talking about, what Jewish has a privilege, has a separate place for memorial. Jewish people always have a privilege, for example, to die. And, you know, it's my opinion only. I'm talking from myself, from my heart, what I feel. I continue to have a Holocaust. I lost son in September 11. But I cannot tell what this is Holocaust. Many people did. died, and my son also. And I want to talk about Holocaust, is what I want to say. A lot of killers kill prostitutes, and you know this. Was many cases with some stupid killer just looking for prostitute and kill. He doesn't like prostitute. We don't call this Holocaust.
Let me interrupt for just a second. Ari, did you want to respond or add something or comment?
Yes, I want to add a comment.
And finally, we make a memorial. Nazi kill us only because we are Jew. It's not one stupid killer kill prostitute or somebody else. Kill us because we are Jew. 15 years people built this, did this memorial, and come in every year, a few times in a year, and all kind of holidays. And now, why these people must to have memorial only in this place? What, not enough space? Maybe in area when live a lot of homosexual. I'm not against homosexual. They can do what they want. But they can have a place in memorial in Manhattan, in a place where a lot of people, homosexual, live. They have a chance to come in and put flowers, not go special to Brooklyn, what I'm sure what they not too often come to Brooklyn. Why only in this place? I don't know. And I think...
What I have an answer. I have an answer.
I'm sorry.
Hello?
I cannot hear you.
Go ahead, Ari.
I have an answer to these questions, and it's a very good answer why in Brooklyn, not just in Brooklyn, in South Brooklyn. I call it in your face. They want it specifically in South Brooklyn. They want it specifically near Shipstead Bay, Manhattan Beach, Brighton Beach, near Midwood and Borough Park and South Beach, you know, in South Brooklyn, where many Jews live. They want to put it inside overwhelmingly Jewish areas where our communities live. And that's why opinion of these communities, of these neighborhoods, were completely ignored. That's why they ignored opinion of Holocaust Memorial Committee. So many disabled groups in New York, and believe me, disabled people is also very powerful lobby in America. But for the all 25 years, not a single disabled group approached Holocaust Memorial Committee with the idea to put a specific marker for disabled. It's all is done by gay and lesbian lobby, and all other markers is just a smoke to cover the real purpose of this gay and lesbian stone marker. Also, I wanted to say a few words about stone for political prisoners and a social element like prostitutes and homeless people that were killed by Nazis. Jews were killed even if they were not communists. Jews were killed even if they converted to Christianity. Jews were killed even if they were not in open opposition to Nazi regime, like all of these political dissidents. And like, and to put the same marker like Buchenwald, Dachau, Minsk ghetto, and then like a social elements marker, I believe it's a disgrace. I believe it's a like outrage, and I believe it's insult to the memory of 6 million Jews. That's my opinion.
Okay,
and I think it's anti-Semitic. I'm very insulted.
Thank you very much for calling in and making these points. It was articulate and very much appreciated. You're tuned in to the Jewish Activist Network. My name is Joe Orlo. We broadcast Wednesday nights from midnight to 1 a.m. Please join us by calling into our program 718-569-0921. That's 718-569-0921. Our guest tonight is Ari Kagan. We're talking about the Holocaust Memorial, which is in a park which the city is trying to add more markers to, and which we're concerned about the nature of those markers. Ari, at one point you were going to read the actual wording on one of the markers. Maybe you could share that with us now.
He already read it from the program regarding actual wording of upcoming actual wording of this gays and lesbians stone, you
right,
know.
Right. I read that already.
You read it. I wanted to add that before this controversy, only names of individual Holocaust victims were inscribed, or names of shtetls, cities, ghettos, concentration camps. Never before anybody put markers for any kind of specific categories of people, because it's a very dangerous road to the stones dedicated to the memory of Belarusian partisans, Ukrainian nationalists, Catholic priests, and so on, you know.
Let me ask you, what can people do?
Yeah.
Is there any simple thing that somebody could do to make a phone call?
Yes, very, very, very simple thing to protest. I mean, 311, that's a very popular service, 311, it's a city government phone number. People can call 311, introduce themselves, no matter where they live, you know. If they live in, especially in the city of New York, in any five boroughs, and we have an election here, and we have an upcoming mayoral election, and if you call 311, introduce yourself, say where do they live, and why you have objections to these five new markers and Holocaust
memorial park. Do they ask for the Parks Department?
To Parks Department, to New York City Parks Department. New York City Parks Department is ignorant of any complaints, but if they will get like hundreds or maybe, like they like to say, hundreds, possibly thousands of complaints. And believe me, they're already getting letters. I know at least five Jewish groups in Brooklyn that already sent letters to New York City Parks Department, and they're calling this idea of five new markers is definitely a political idea. It's unethical, it's immoral, and it's insulting to the memory of Holocaust victims.
Now,
311.
So just to repeat, that's 311. Ask for the Parks Department and voice your protest.
Yeah, New York City Parks Department, yes.
And we are talking about the Holocaust Memorial Park in Sheepshead Bay. Now,
yes.
I understand that there this coming Sunday is going to be a celebration, an annual gathering and exhibit. Could you, maybe you'd like to tell people about it. Maybe you'd like to come and show their support.
Holocaust Memorial Committee, yes.
So maybe you could tell people about it. Maybe people could come. People who are around, they'd like to come, show their support.
Of course,
and
everybody should come. Everybody who can come should come. And it's an annual event. There will be a lot of guests, a lot of elected officials, a lot of media coverage. By the way, again, it will be celebration and honor. There will be honoring of two Gentiles, two women who are righteous of the world, who saved Jewish life during the Holocaust, talking about non-Jewish people. Again, Jews are celebrating Gentiles who were brave enough to save Jewish lives. Jews initiated this Holocaust Memorial Park, and now we are accused of being nationalists, Zionists, too much Zionists, and even New York Post published a story, Dov Hyken, for Jews only, only Jews. You know, like, we are accused of being too nationalistic, you know, and anti-everybody. It's total nonsense, in my opinion. So I encourage everybody to come 12 o'clock noon, and, like, we expect a lot of people there at Holocaust Memorial Park. There will be a lot of prominent guests, and also it is expected that Mayor Bloomberg can show up, unless he would be afraid to see some people who are angry with this idea.
And the website for the park is www.thmc.org. I guess THMC is the beginning of the Holocaust Museum. C is for committee, I would assume. Again,
yes, Holocaust Memorial Committee, yes.
Committee. So that's www.thmc.org. It's a nice website, and everybody should take a look at that website and come on Sunday, come this Sunday.
You're tuned in to the Jewish Activist Network. Our call-in number to be part of our show with questions or comments is 718-569-0921. And we're speaking with Ari Kagan. Ari, question I have is, you just mentioned that the mayor is going to be there. How would you, I guess he'll be on the stage, he'll come for, you know, how it usually works, for a few minutes, he may speak. How do you suggest people bring this to his attention?
I believe there are many ways to protest, like, could be signs, like you can bring signs, very easy signs, not insulting signs, memory of Holocaust, like hands off Holocaust Memorial Park. That Holocaust Memorial Park is not about like prostitutes, for example, or political prisoners, not equal to 6 million Jews, for example. Political prisoners not equal to 6 million Jews, or what Holocaust is all about, Mayor, or don't forget about 6 millions. Something like that should be easy, simple, and very, you know, clear. What your opinion is all about.
I've seen in an article that Mayor Bloomberg says that Steve Simberowitz, who I believe is the assemblyman of that district, he is behind the plan. In other words, he's at least going along with the plan of making these five markers. And I understand that he definitely is going to be there. At least he's always been there.
He will be there. He's going. Every year he attends this gathering, and he's one of the sponsors of annual contest.
So what do we make of it? Do we assume? I wish we assumed. His assumption is that this is what he feels, or that he's under pressure. What would you guess?
He feels pressure. It's a very powerful lobby. We're talking about very powerful lobby. Gay and lesbian lobby is very powerful. Has a lot of money, a lot of political clout. But for 13 years they were unsuccessful on this issue, and only this year they finally succeeded. By the way, first they came to Christian Quinn, speaker of New York City Council, who is also supporting this idea. She's open lesbian. She represents areas in Manhattan where there is a heavy presence of homosexuals and lesbians. But again, there are so many parks in New York City. There are so many places where you can put a plaque or anything like that. Why to put it inside South Brooklyn Holocaust Memorial Park? Again, I believe it's just to show political influence, strong political influence of this lobby. That's the only reason.
We're going to take a caller, Baruch from Brooklyn. You're on the Jewish Activist Network, Baruch.
Okay, good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like to say that maybe Rabbi Levin touched on this before, but basically, the mayor, you have to understand the background here. The mayor just recently announced his support of this, the so-called gay marriage, which is really to'eva marriage, and he's been lobbying for this. And so this has to be understood that this is the background, part of the background for this move, and with Speaker Quinn, like the guest just mentioned. So that's why they had the chutzpah and felt the power to think that they could push this through now. But I want to say a poll just came out that Mayor Bloomberg is losing support, and this mayor, he is digging his own political grave. And it looks like he might go down to defeat, even if he spends $100 million. And Bloomberg is the grandson of a rabbi, and shame on him. If he wants to save his political future, he should repent and do tshuva and stop this nonsense. He has done a lot of good things to the city, but now in his old age, he's getting foolish, and he's digging his own grave.
Okay. Fair enough, and I hope that he listens to what you're saying, since I am sure that he is tuned in. And if not, then we should greet him on Sunday.
Okay.
And maybe you'd come down. Baruch, why don't you come down with the sign on Sunday?
Well, another thing I want to say also, that the truth is that even though this was put up, this park was put up, I have been there a number of years ago by well-meaning people, but this whole idea that we... to make this Holocaust memorials and everything, I think it's got out of hand to make it in a public space. We have to remember this among ourselves, but to put everything in a public square, see, that's why we have this problem. We can make for ourselves in our own territory, but...
I disagree with that. I don't understand why.
No, I'm saying this made us vulnerable, the fact that it was made into a...
Otherwise, it wouldn't be there at all. Do you have the money to buy a park?
Well, I'm just saying, listen, the fact is, since we're in Gullis, so we cannot control certain things, so that's why we have
the
vulnerability.
I understand. No, you can't control not everything in life is completely controllable. You do what you can.
I was saying that, okay, whatever. Okay, I made my point. Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
All right. Before we take our next caller, you know, I'd like to address something which happened here in the Washington, D.C. area, where I'm broadcasting from. As many of you may be aware, there was a shooting at the Holocaust Museum, and one of the guards there, doing his duty, doing his job to protect people, to allow everything to go smoothly at the museum, his life was taken. His name was Stephen Leroy, I believe, Johns. And it's very important that we keep in mind that the Holocaust Museum, it is, our last caller was saying that that it's not our place perhaps to put these memorials in parks, but the reality is it's being done by the community, which includes Jews and non-Jews. And the museum, too, was something that the Congress decided to do, which the United States decided to do. And this was an attack today against the whole concept of the Holocaust, but really an attack on the United States. And we should keep in mind this guard who's put his life on the line.
Tyrone,
excuse me, I got the name wrong. Stephen Tyrone Johns, who paid the ultimate price for standing up for the Holocaust, for the memory of the millions who died. We're going to take another caller here. You're on the air with the Jewish Activist Network. Hello. When you hear the tone, you're on the air.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, I just want to mention about the last call. I think that is absolutely ridiculous that he's saying that we have to keep it to ourselves and not make it public. I mean, there's no reason for it. Everyone has to know it affects everybody. And to make such a statement is whatever.
Yeah, I wasn't exactly sure.
All credibility in my eyes.
Okay, I wasn't exactly sure the reasoning behind what he said either. But any other points?
In general, I just want to say that I don't think I'm not really sure if who is saying it, but I think that the mayor has been good to us in general, and I don't know, are you saying that he is personally trying to promote this?
We didn't say it. We did have some callers who were saying that. I don't think they were saying that the mayor personally was trying to do this, as much as either some were suggesting that he's going along with it. There's no question about it. It's been in newspaper articles where he said that he thinks the Holocaust happened to others.
Let me put it this way. If he wanted to stop it, it wouldn't be happening.
Right. He's certainly going along with it, and it was mentioned, it was pointed out that he's also supporting the gay rights marriage. So it seems that he's definitely going along with the gay agenda. In addition to what's happening right here with the Holocaust Museum Park. Memorial Park.
He could have come out against it. From what Ari said earlier, these groups have been fighting for these stones, these markers, for like 13 years. If he could have came out against it, they would just keep on fighting it. You know, it wouldn't have impacted him that much, it seems to me.
What do you expect him to do? He has to pick and choose his battles. I don't know.
Well, he pick and choose his battles.
That's it. When somebody's a politician, they have to take into account their own, what they would want to do on their own, what the public wants, and they also have to take into account, they have to make a cheshbon, what is the right thing to do. And I think, you know, when you look at it, the whole city and what people's feelings are and the emotion involved and where right stands, you know, he could have just said, this is not the place, this is not the time to do this, even if he personally feels that maybe it should go forward. He could have been a statesman in this area, and he still can.
We hope he does so.
Thank you very much for your call. We have Ari back with us. Ari Kagan, you're on the air with us again.
Sorry,
I have some comments. First of all, regarding the idea of private park or public park, this park was created, the whole idea of this park was to create public awareness of Holocaust, so more people will know about the 6 million Jews who perished in Holocaust, so less teenagers will inscribe swastikas on everywhere. And by the way, even anti-Semites know what Holocaust is all about. They always like inscribe swastikas and then kill Jews and so on. They never describe kill gays or kill disabled or kill with swastikas, I mean, or kill Jehovah Witnesses. They know exactly who are 6 million Jews, you know.
That's a very valid point. When the haters quote the Holocaust, it's clear what they're referring to. They're not referring to
gays. Also, I think about votes. So last time I checked, Jewish community is one of the largest community among voting groups because we vote in a large numbers and we vote in blocks. So I believe it also makes sense to show mayor that we do vote. I'm a United States citizen, you know. I'm a registered to vote. So like, maybe it makes sense to bring sign like, I'm a voter and I care. And I'm a voter and I'm against these five markers. Something like that also makes sense, in my opinion.
That's it? Yeah. And, you know, the caller was saying we're in Gaulis, and there is a place for him to make a point that, you know, we can debate what is our place in Gaulis. But certainly part of it is, as you're saying, Ari, is to educate and to teach. That's our role.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Let's take another caller. We have Coy with us on the air. Go ahead, Coy.
Yes. Well, my father fought in World War II in the Pacific, and you never hear anything about the atrocities committed by the Japanese. But on this memorial issue, I think it's a shame to try and put something else in there aside from a memorial for the Holocaust victim. You can't, I mean, it will destroy the whole idea of the park if you list every other ethnic group that it ever was picked on by Hitler in that park. It's not for that. It's for memorializing the Jews that were slaughtered by Hitler.
Now, I appreciate that you mentioning it because I almost neglected. I wanted to read something that Elie Wiesel had written in a book, which is very, very similar to what you're saying. Tell me if you agree with this. I'm going to begin quote. Truly, I must tell you, when I hear certain extrapolations, I am worried. For instance, we used to speak when we spoke. We didn't dare speak too much about 6 million Jews. Then some friends, some people began reminding us, quote, true, but after all, there were others as well. It is true, there were others as well. So they said, 11 million, six of whom were Jews. If this goes on, the next step will be 11, including six. And in a couple of years, they won't even speak of the six. They'll speak only of 11 million. You see the progression, 6 million plus five, then 11, including six, then only 11. Source, Elie Wiesel on the Politics of Moral Leadership by Mark Schmiel, page 120. In other words, the issue is like this. If you start adding things, you basically dilute it, and at the end, the first thing doesn't exist. That sounds like what you're saying.
Well, Michael Bloomberg ought to be ashamed of himself, for one thing. Is he not a Jew? Bloomberg
is
not a Jewish name?
He is. Yeah, he's definitely born Jewish.
Well, he should. Somebody ought to slap him upside the head. Maybe he thinks straighter.
There's no question.
I mean, I'm part Native American myself, but you don't see any memorials to the Holocaust that this country committed against its own people generations and generations and generations. This went on for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Right, I know. Since the 1600s.
But no, it's wrong. There shouldn't be a memorial in that park except to the Jews. If they want to erect a memorial to the homosexuals or gypsies or whomever, then they should get a park and do that. But they shouldn't try to destroy a monument that's meant for a specific purpose to draw attention to the horror of what Adolf Hitler was. And it's just I'm in full agreement with your callers that are outraged by this. I mean, since World War II, you know, the word Holocaust has been around for centuries, but now if you use the word Holocaust, it only brings to mind one thing. And that's what Hitler did in World War II to the Jewish people.
Yeah. I really appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
Thank
you. It's
always
nice to hear a call from somebody, somebody's not Jewish, you know, who's sympathetic.
Thank you, and God bless you, and don't be so sure there isn't any Jewish blood in me.
All right, feel
free. I'm multi-ethnic.
God bless you, Coy. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Feel free to call back.
Thank you.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
You're tuned in to the Jewish Activists Network. We broadcast Wednesday nights from midnight to 1 a.m. We'll be on the air tonight for another 5 minutes or so. Our call-in number is 718-569-0921. Our guest tonight is Ari Kagan. Ari, did you want to maybe follow up a little bit on our caller?
Yes, first of all, I'm also very appreciative to the last caller. By the way, he almost like quoted Assemblyman Dov Hankin, who said absolutely the same. He said, if you open a new park, World War II victims memorial park or Nazi victims park somewhere in another place in New York, he said, I will be first to show up and to be at the opening of this park. But don't destroy the Holocaust Memorial Park. And I totally agree with it. And I believe that, again, it has nothing to do, this whole idea has nothing to do with memory of Holocaust victims. It's all about elections and all about politics and political influence of one specific group, gay and lesbians, that's all.
Let me just remind people of our number 718-569-0921. 718-569-0921. I would like also to remind you of two things. One is to call 311. That's the number for the city. 311. Ask for the Parks Department and issue a complaint. Tell them that you'd like to complain about these five markers that are going up. And also this Sunday, the park, the Holocaust Memorial Park, is having an anniversary and a fair. And is it a fair, Ari?
No, it's not a fair. It's a 25th anniversary of Holocaust Memorial Committee, and it's an annual gathering every time it's in June, and it will be at noon, 12 o'clock.
Okay, show up with signs. Okay, we have
two
callers.
We have two callers. Please be brief because we're running low on time. Rita, you're on the air.
Yeah. Oh, hi. I just wanted to say that not all of the victims of the Nazis were Jews, but
absolutely,
all Jews were victims of the Nazis.
Okay, fair.
So
that's
sums it up, because it's saying only all of the Jews were the victims.
Right. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's a very good way to put it.
Thank you, Rita. Zev, you're on the air with us on the Jewish Activist Network. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm from Brighton Beach. I'd like to talk about Cimberwitz. Assemblyman Cimberwitz has done more to destroy the cultural and religious institutions here in the Brighton Beach area than anyone I know. He's the main backer with the taxpayer money for an organization called the Brighton Neighborhood Association, which is destroyed through zoning regulations several synagogues here, and is fighting a yeshiva on West End Avenue. And he's married to a shiksa also, which doesn't help matters much, and he's a very bad guy.
You know, you have it. I haven't really heard much. Would you stay on with us after the show so we could talk to you a little about this?
Yes.
To get a little more information.
And just to clarify your point, we have nothing in regard to his wife. This is not that topic. What we're saying that it's his actions you're referring to. Nothing.
His actions. He's been destroying. He's been supporting one of the major organizations around here. He's done nothing but destroy the Jewish institutions around here, the Jewish character of this neighborhood.
Okay, so let's get more information about that, because I don't really know much about this.
Zev, stay on the line, because we're going to be on the air another minute. All right, we have another minute on the air. Maybe summarize for us your points and give us some kind of strengthen us as we go ahead and try to be active and follow through on what you've been speaking on.
Thank you very much again for this opportunity. Again, all your listeners to call 311, ask for Parks Department of New York City, and say that you oppose this idea of five new markers to all of these categories, like social elements, political prisoners, gays and lesbians, and so on. And did you believe that Holocaust Memorial Park should be like it was before, dedicated to its mission to preserve the memory of Holocaust genocide of 6 million Jews.
Thank you for being with us on the Jewish Activist Network, Ari. We'll have you back again soon, I hope, with a follow-up.